I don't care that this is a holy day for Satanists. It's a day in my life, and I'm going to celebrate with my family. Welcome to Kingdom Conversations Quadcast. This is Sally.
This is Anne.
And I'm Sean.
And this is Curtis.
Welcome. As I already said, we are going to talk today about Halloween because it's coming up just like next week, week after next, a week from Wednesday.
Depends if you consider the week starts today or when does the week actually start.
You'll probably be listening to this and it'll be next week.
You know, I'm so glad that we're talking about this because it's been something that I've been thinking about a lot. For some reason, I've been...
Is that a spiritual attack?
I don't know. Maybe that's just it. Maybe I really am being spiritually attacked by like crazy in that...
You can't figure out what day of the week it is.
I wonder if there's a witch behind it.
There
or
it is. There might be. Oh my goodness. Now you're giving me goosebumps. Stop.
Sorry.
Stop.
Goosies.
Oh my goodness. But like, well, okay. So I grew up as a kid who believed in God but didn't go to church because his dad grew up in the Catholic Church and they didn't, you know, he didn't want anything to do with us going to the Catholic Church. My mom grew up Mormon but didn't like the Mormons. And then she like got married to my dad but then split up and then she went to the Jehovah's Witnesses and my dad didn't like her being there. So they got back together but she had to leave the Jehovah's Witnesses. But a lot of the fundamentalist sort of craziness seeped into my subconscious. Like there's just no way that I could have been completely protected from that.
Sure.
So a lot of the ideas and views of Halloween being the devil's night and completely attached to the demonic and spiritual warfare type things. Yeah, I always grew up thinking that Halloween was, you know, a no-go. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was in Bible college, the question about Halloween came up and I remember still at that point in my life being like, no, we will never celebrate Halloween in my house. Mm-hmm. I will never have my kids dress up on the devil's night and go parade around and think that getting candy makes being a Satanist okay.
How's that working for you?
Yeah, exactly.
How's that working for you?
Exactly. Now I have two kids.
And one who like loves dressing up.
And who has me completely wrapped around her finger and just gives me that little look like daddy.
She loves dressing up. She's been playing this game with Curtis where she's a werecat.
Like a werecat.
Like a werewolf.
I thought it was a were-unicorn, I was confused.
No, she has a new onesie, and it's a little cat, because unfortunately they were out of unicorn ones in her size. Oh,
she got to broaden her horizons and go as a cat.
But she really has loved Halloween.
Mm.
And we didn't try to like promote the spooky side of it, but I think she thought it was really funny when you'd go like, boo. And like scare because she likes to do like practical.
The night we moved here, Sally's like, oh, she's asleep. And so I go in the bedroom and she's like a little angel laying there in the bed, sound asleep. And I'm like, I'm just going to try to give her a tiny little kiss without waking her up. And I go to kiss her. She's like, brah.
That was totally so funny.
It was so funny because
we had rehearsed a few times.
So she just likes that little aspect of.
And she really is the one that got me more on board with. You know, the playfulness of Halloween. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, you're talking
He was converted by his child.
Okay, so, I mean, I grew up with that idea that there is good and there is evil. Mm-hmm. And Halloween is the New Year's Eve of evil. And that's their big celebration. And so you don't play around with that because you don't play around with evil.
Yeah, it's interesting depending on, you know, how you're raised and how we will see something as we get older, what happens to us is when we're kids affects how we see it throughout the rest of our lives. But I had, my experience was a bit different. I didn't grow up with it necessarily as something that was drilled into us with something that was evil. It was something, you know, we dressed up. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of, for us, I mean, I thought of candy. I thought of going around the adventure of what will I get, almost like a treasure hunt or something like that. And I kind of grew up with that. There was a spooky element to it, but that was more of an exciting, of a thrill kind of thing. It wasn't something that was like true terrifying. It was more of a, it was kind of a thrill. It was kind of a bit of a spooky thing, but that spooky kind of translated to me as something kind of a mystery, exciting kind of a thing, not something that was really necessarily, I was really scared. In costumes, to me, that was fun. We even wore them to school. We even got to wear a costume to school, which was, again, was another thing that was portrayed as fun to us, where you could go ahead and dress up and kind of take on an aspect of a character or something that you found appealing. So to me, it was kind of something that was kind of really fun. We really looked forward to it.
And I saw that in Cadence's eyes, and that's one of the reasons that I softened my stance on it. You know, I mean, I grew up the way I did, but then I see this kid who's got this childlike wonder, who's super excited about it. So I'm like, okay, let's explore that. She wanted to get a lot of Halloween decorations, so we started buying Halloween decorations, and it was actually this year was the first year that she was like, "Dad, why do you like Halloween decorations so much?" And I was like, "I thought we
why liked do
them.
I like?
I thought this was something you like." And I was trying to reconcile where I was in the spectrum of belief, I guess. And
that's fair.
It made me wonder, like, have I gone like so far to the other side? Because I mean, that would not be surprising for anyone who knows me for any period of time that I might go from one extreme to the other.
But those are some good decorations, by the way.
But they are
some good decorations.
Cadence,
tell us what you think about when I asked you what you thought about when you think about Halloween.
Candy.
Do you like dressing up? Do you like decorating?
I like decorating and dressing up.
What's your favorite thing about decorating?
You know. I like everything about decorating.
Do you like decorating for Halloween differently than Christmas?
It's kind of the same.
Because it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about costumes?
I like the costumes.
What about it? What do you like about it?
What I like about the costumes, maybe everything.
It's just fun, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
So tell me, Cadence, what is your favorite thing to dress up as for Halloween?
Unicorn!
Unicorn? Wow. Say that calm.
Yeah.
Unicorn.
So find somewhere between that whisper and that yell, and let's have a conversation. Maybe a little louder.
Unicorn.
Maybe a little louder.
Unicorn.
Unicorn.
Yeah, more like regular voice. That's good. Is there anything that you would never want to dress up as for Halloween?
I don't know.
You don't know. All right.
Dressing up is fun. It's even fun for adults. It's just fun.
I liked it. I thought it was fun too. Kind of a way of going into a character or something like that. Some aspect about a character that I resonated with as a kid. Or that wanted to be.
It just gets all those aspects of like make-believe and escape and fantasy.
Is there anything else you want to say to us about Halloween?
Candy.
Just candy.
I resonated with that too. I look forward to the candy. Do you do the candy sorting ritual after Halloween where you separate your candy into different groupings? Like, you know, there's
Sometimes I go to my friend's house and we can make a pile of what we don't like all together, and then we treat candy.
Yeah, we do that. The candy sorting ritual is one of the things we did, where you put your A candies, your candy bars in one pile. You put your, you know, little milk duds and stuff like that in another pile.
What do you think Halloween is celebrating?
Maybe pumpkins?
Nice.
Cool.
Do you like going and visiting our neighbors when we go trick-or-treating? Because I know you don't like to like just get it out of the bucket. You like it when they're home and they answer the door.
Yeah.
Did you do any tricks on people last year? Because you say trick-or-treat. Did you try any tricks?
No. No.
What?
I kind of recall you guys ringing a doorbell and running away.
Oh, yes, I was going to say. Yeah, I love that.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, that was some tricks going on last year.
Did anybody try to scare you on Halloween?
Daddy?
Me?
Daddy.
What did I do? How did I try to scare you?
You scared me.
What did you do this year?
I don't remember this.
What was I dressed up as?
Did you scare anybody?
Trisha.
You scared Trisha?
Yeah. I booed her. Boo.
Do you like scaring people?
Daddy.
She likes scaring daddy.
Yeah.
scared daddy.
So what do you think about all the scary stuff in Halloween? Do you think it's good to be scared or not good to be scared?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you think it could be both?
Yeah. Could be both.
Do you think it's different between being surprised with like a boo or being scared, like actually really scared? Do you think those two things are kind of different?
Yes.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word Halloween?
Candy.
Yeah, it's candy.
What's your favorite memory of Halloween? When I say Halloween and you think of family stuff, what's your favorite memory?
Going around the houses.
Just walk around the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just do more neighborhood walks, yeah. Like in general.
There's definitely
I could bring candy and like lead you along.
There's definitely a candy aspect, but what's funny is there's like candy in the cupboard all the time. Mm-hmm. Like there's always candy. Halloween has so many aspects of fun, dressing up, decorating, going somewhere with your friends, seeing the neighbors. And your guys' neighborhood here, everybody comes out and they set up tables. And so you go to all the little cul-de-sacs and it's almost like a little event, you know, neighborhood event. So it does have all these aspects of things that are in and of themselves not bad in any way, nothing morally wrong with them. There's nothing morally wrong with dressing up and candy. So definitely Halloween has all these aspects of fun to it.
I mean, you know the history of Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. You've been doing a little research on how it began and what it was all about. Like maybe you could educate Cadence and our listeners a little bit on what you've been researching.
Do we want her to hear all
this? Oh, I do.
Okay. So I might say the name wrong, but there was a holiday called Samhain. S-A-M-H-A-I-N.
You did golden.
Samhain. I guess is that Celtic? It was a Celtic day. And it was kind of started as them believing that there were like evil spirits that would come and they would, in order to protect themselves from these evil spirits, they would dress up as evil spirits. So they would dress up to keep the spirits from knowing that they weren't spirits. Then it morphed into the church kind of made it the day after. Was it All Hallows Eve? Saints Day, All Saints Day. So they kind of did it the day after Halloween for the purpose of the church having something around the same time. And it was a day that they tried to give honor to all the saints that had passed away, all the saints that had been martyred or whatnot. One of the things that causes me a problem with Halloween in general is that there are a lot of people that think that Christians shouldn't celebrate any of the holidays except we should go back to the Jewish festivals and celebrations because things like Christmas and Thanksgiving have so many pagan aspects to them. The thing that's different with Halloween is that December 25th on the calendar for anything that has to do with like a Satanism or Wicca or any of those things, December 25th is not a high holy day. Halloween is. Halloween is a high holy day. And it's also the Illuminati's highest day for human sacrifice. And I do believe that in European countries, humans are sacrificed on Halloween. So, I mean, I can't prove that or anything, but I do strongly believe that that is happening. And so because it is considered actual holiday, because the day is considered, and actually the night, December 30th is even a bigger deal, but a lot of people have problems with just Christmas, so the Christmas tree or the Yule log or something, but December 25th is not a high holy day on the Satanistic calendar, but October 31st is. And so it does, for me, cause some moral issues, especially if human sacrifices are happening on that day.
You know, one thing I've always thought about or wondered is about how a lot of the holidays, like even Christmas, mm-hmm. was around pagan holidays. And it's not even the same time of year that we believe Jesus was born.
Right.
But I wonder if us having an event of, you know, trick-or-treating or dressing up, if it's a high holy day, what it means if we celebrate for us as children of God and we're not Satanists, what is their view of somebody celebrating on their day, mm-hmm. would they say, oh, that's great because it's supporting, or is it kind of take away from what they're mm-hmm. actually trying to do? You know, they're trying, right. it's this Satanistic day and the sacrificing, and we're like, oh, it's about candy
and unicorns
and like, oh, look at the skeletons. They're so funny. And like one of the right. funniest videos that we have that comes back up on memories was when we did get our first full skeleton and Curtis took it out of the box, and it was just making Silas laugh, and the kids were giggling, and he was coming after them, and mm-hmm. like I kind of we use it as education, and we're right. like, here's the bones in your body, you know. So I don't know, it's something I've wondered about, because I've heard people say, you know, like we might have a like a holy day. Like it's supposed to be, Christmas is a good example. Like mm-hmm. it's supposed to be about the birth of Christ, and then everybody's focusing on Santa Claus. Right. So in the same way, are we doing that to the Halloween? Right. Where it's supposed to be evil and we're focusing on fun, and maybe that's a better balance. Mm. Like, should we be providing balance? So I was thinking about when we were kids and my mom would always have us dress up as angels.
Always.
And I don't know, I was trying to think what, I mean, we've been singing quite a few songs in church that talk like that I am a child of God is in the lyrics, and we were singing that this morning. So I was trying to think, what does that look like during Halloween to be a child of God? That's when I thought about my mom dressing us up as angels. So if we do want to say, hey, I don't care that this is a holy day for Satanists. It's a day in my life, and I'm going to celebrate with my family.
Right.
Yeah.
But how should you participate if you want to?
I would say one of the ways that kind of helped me see this is, you know, even some of the rituals or different types of vessels and rituals and things introduced in the Old Testament, they even had some of the things that God used were things that they were familiar with in that time, like the box, that the tablets were held in, rituals where they held different things. Those were common things that were known back then. So God using part of the culture to relate to the people to bring something that took on a different meaning for the people of Israel. Also with, I kind of see it as Paul's discussion as talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols. Well, certain people use that meat and would go ahead and celebrate a god, a pagan god. But Paul would say, I'd eat this meat. I got no problem with it. But if it causes my brother to stumble or someone else, then out of love and respect for them, because I don't want to cause someone an injury, that I'm mindful of that as well. So I see taking part in something like Halloween as something that can be redemptive, can be fun and stuff, and depends on how I'm using it, of course. But also being mindful, hey, if I'm in the company of someone that might see that as me getting into the supernatural mm-hmm. aspect, I might want to, out of love and concern for them, at least in that moment, to modify how I would do something, being willing to do something based on a love and concern, even though it doesn't change how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So I kind of see it myself in those kind of lines. So I don't have a problem with celebrating Halloween for something fun, for dressing up, for having candy, for a celebratory thing, even something you could, of course, and I believe as a Christian, we should bring God into every aspect where God brings surprises. He brings gifts. He gives us things. I mean, I like adding those things where you season something with God and Christ. So
I loved what Sally said about, she wonders what Satanists, or I'm just going to use the word Satanist, but I'm trying to think of like a politically correct
pagan.
Because pagan, thank you, pagan, how they celebrate, what they think of Christian celebrating. I love that question because I know some people that have been pagan that have become Christians, and paganism is not all the same, not at all. There are people that are witches in one dimension, and then other people that try to use witchcraft for much more sinister, or they go to a much darker place. And I have read books and watch videos, but also talk to people that have come from these backgrounds. There's a woman on YouTube, and I don't know her name, but I believe that her YouTube site is called the darker side of evil or the dark side of evil or something like this. She was involved in more of a sinister form of witchcraft. She has a couple of videos about Christmas and talking about why she still celebrates Christmas. But when she talks about Halloween, she very much is adamantly against Halloween. And one of the things that she talked about is witches or people that are pagan, and they watch Christians trying to normalize Halloween. And she can't speak for all people, but her coven, her group of people, they thought it was really funny. And they would like mock Christians that would still try to like somehow neutralize Halloween. And what she had suggested is, you know, have a different day, make it a different day, have a harvest festival, let the kids dress up, have a party, do things, but don't try to normalize. Now, like I said, that's just her, and she can't speak for all people that are of a pagan background, but she herself, she would mock Christians that try to do that.
So, I mean, but what does that mean, mock? Like, just make fun of? Like, I don't mind like, if a pagan person mocks me.
So what she's saying,
I think they're not saying that they're doing something that they don't understand.
She's saying like, oh, you think you can normalize Halloween? Ha ha, you're so funny. Like you, so she's saying that you can't. But the hard part.
They said the same thing about yoga.
And I and she, this woman does. Now, here's the interesting thing about yoga. Is there is an entire group of people from Hindu religion that are strongly trying to start up a new movement to take yoga back. They're hecka pissed off that people have made it about exercise. So it is, I feel like it's very, that's a really close similarity between Halloween and yoga. Because there's a big group of people that are saying you're taking yoga, which is a religion, and trying to make it exercise, and they're mad about it. So
yeah, I mean, you're going to find people from different slants. I mean, I can only speak for myself about how I see something, and I do try to tie something to a scriptural precedent, you know, where I see something that, especially things that I'm kind of on the fence about, you know, when I get into certain holidays and stuff. I never questioned like Christmas or anything as a kid. You know, it was part of our background that this is why we're doing what we're doing. And that always made that okay for me. And that's something that I've used also in other aspects too. This is why I'm doing this. Then that was somewhat okay. And I see some precedent for that in scripture as well. You know, using things of the culture in order to relate to someone or to, you know, change its meaning or something along those lines. And I certainly see God doing something like that in order to bridge a gulf between people and whatnot. So that's something I've tried to use as a principle for doing some things I've done. Halloween was one of those things which, because of part of how I was raised, and this was something that was fun, that this was, you know, something that was imaginative. There was never an aspect of the dark side that I was engaging with, even though there was some sort of a spooky element about it, but it was totally dialed down for me. You know, there were certain aspects of why people were doing Halloween that were like, okay, this is something that those of more of a into legitimate witchcraft were part of doing things this way. This was why I was doing it, though. So it was something I never really had some sort of real moral struggle about, even though I was mindful about it and certainly didn't want to give someone an impression that I was doing something to participate in that aspect. But I didn't have that much of a struggle.
Just for our listeners real fast, the YouTube channel I'm talking about, it's titled The Other Side of Darkness, just in case anybody wants to check it out.
The one thing I was going to say is that we were talking last week with being aware of spiritual forces out there. I am aware that Halloween is a night that people will be doing things like if they are involved in the satanic. And so from like a parent's point of view, I think our perspective so far has been, you know, up until the second grade. Yeah, I think I would be very cautious about having my kids out and about or what they're doing, you know, as they get older. Yeah. For sure, there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, we hadn't even got on this side, but it's like a holiday that's kind of celebrated for like lots of fun debauchery. Yeah. Everybody dresses up in their sexy costumes, yeah. You know, like from like a
college age or singles people. Yeah. It's a nice night to go out and drink and wear.
Up so to no good. They're up to no good.
So, I mean, right. I mean, that's kind of different. That's not necessarily getting into the satanic. Satanic.
You can mess up that word. It's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's, like we were saying, you kind of have to have this like awareness and I don't know if respect is the right word, but yeah. like respect. Yeah.
Caution.
Caution.
Mm. Yeah.
For the evening. And like we talked about last week too, where I think, you know, we're talking about having Cadence in here or not, but I think it's important that she knows, like when we saw her like look up spells on the internet, it was like, well, hold on, like there are people out there that do bad things mm-hmm. that we don't want to engage in on Halloween. So like start to have those conversations with her as she gets older and understands. I don't know if she fully can get that kind of thing yet, but
yeah,
I think that's important to understand because if she really loves Halloween and even likes the spooky stuff and then like, ooh, let's try this or, you know, so I could see that being something that she would want to. If some friend came over and said like, oh, it's Halloween and mm-hmm. I've got the spell. I'm not sure if that happened like today. I mean, she's only 7, but like, I'm not sure how she would respond.
Did you ever do light as a feather, stiff as a board?
Yep.
How old were you when you did that?
We were in 7th grade.
We have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll happen sooner because everything happens sooner. But,
yeah, but, I've told this story.
Or Ouija boards.
Red rum. Bloody Mary, or what was it? We'd say it in the mirror.
Have I told you this story about how at one of my friend's birthday parties, I think we were only in like the 2nd or 3rd grade, and they were like, when you say it in the mirror? And I was totally like, that won't happen because Jesus is here protecting us.
Yeah.
And I was like, watch, we'll try it and nothing will happen because I was so confident because of how my mom had ingrained in me. And so I'm starting, as we've had these conversations, I'm like, oh, am I doing that enough?
Right.
Because I was even sharing with Curtis that I've always just been so secure in that, like, I'm a child of God. Like, I say the name of Jesus and nothing can touch me. I've got my guardian angels. Like, I kind of had this like untouchable feeling when it came to like, and I don't
love
know.
That. I love it.
No, she's right because our mom, when I look back, mom did a good job because there was this party I was at. I was in 7th grade and they were doing this stuff. And I was like, I don't do that. And I was the same thing. Like, Jesus isn't going to let it happen if I'm here. And so Shannon, you remember Shannon? Mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, probably not. My friend Shannon made me sit outside and I was so mad because I had told her if I'm here, Jesus isn't going to let it happen. She makes me sit outside on the steps so that they can make it happen. So I tell her I'm going to pray and it's not going to work. And I remember our mom did a dang good job. I remember this clear as day sitting on the step. I can remember praying that it wouldn't work for them and it didn't work. And she was like, I swear I've done this before and it has worked. And everybody was mad it wasn't working. And I was out there outside for like an hour by myself. I was so mad. That's stupid funny. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. They were doing light as a feather, stiff as a board, and then like some weird thing in the mirror.
Yeah, I did do that though. I think around 6th grade at recess.
Yeah.
And some of the teachers got like, don't do that anymore. Stop doing that.
Yeah. Light as a feather.
Well, I also think of some of the other things that come up around there, like you talk about certain games, and I remember like, you know, Ouija boards, which was mm-hmm. put out by Parker Brothers and stuff mm-hmm. like as a game, just as a game, and that has a pagan history in it too that's been around for, you know, centuries and stuff, and the idea of communing with spirits and different things along those lines, and it was interesting that at one time, and I think it still is, Parker Brothers, was those, you could buy those in any toy store.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think about how, where I'm going is I'm thinking about how things can get snuck through almost a little Trojan horses that get in there and then, you know, kids could get involved with doing something and not really knowing what they're doing, but, you know, open the door to certain things. And that would be a particular concern I would have with that time of year mm-hmm. when something's more apt to be out and talked about and presented. That is a concern that I do have. And
yeah.
So I think being mindful of those things and do having some sense of protection is good to be on guard about, because things can get snuck in under the radar that can be spiritually very seductive and potentially devastating and damaging, life-altering in some ways.
Were you ever... I've never even seen a Ouija board in person.
Have you guys?
I used one once.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was your experience?
We were out by someone's trailer in the middle of pretty much nowhere. It wasn't like spooky at all. Like, I mean, it was nighttime, mm-hmm. but it was like we weren't in the woods or anything. It was on a hill, like all clear, but there was four of us and we all had our hands on the thing, and it gave us an address and said, "Kill him." And
Oof.
We were like, "No, I'm good."
How old were you?
Maybe 20.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't a kid. I guess it's possible one of the people in the four was moving it, but it didn't really seem like one person was pushing or dragging it. I mean, it just, it was weird.
Well, certainly I think, you know, if you believe in spirits of some kind, which I do, I don't know how you can believe Jesus and scripture and not believe. Our understandings, I always viewed as my understandings about how they interact with us and do some stuff is kind of a bit of a mystery until you actually have some sort of experience that kind of, you know, jumps out at you in some way. And certainly I've talked to a number of people that have played with similar devices, those and other type things that have gotten, I don't know how this worked and it did some stuff. There's enough reports out there that say, okay, there's something here. And I think part of our mindset of what we're trying to do or what we're inadvertently not knowing we're doing, but we're trying to interact with something, and which people certainly use Halloween as a day, a point of trying to do that, interact with spirits in a deliberate way in various ways. And there's someone on the other end of the phone.
Sure.
There's someone out there looking for a way in, which I see in scripture all the time with, you know, people's involvement with occult type stuff is oftentimes that big gateway. And certainly Halloween can be used for some people in certain ways. I think it's good to be mindful of that, because things again can get introduced during that time period for people that are either curious or have a deliberate way of doing something, and then they can open the door.
One of the things that Sally brought up that I was going to also bring up is just as you get older, Halloween being a day of it's like, I don't know if I'm the only one that ever experienced a Chico, California Halloween, but holy cow, that's like the craziest day of debauchery I've ever seen in my entire life. I experienced four Chico Halloweens, and one had the band Digital Underground involved in it.
What?
Yeah, we hung out with those guys. It was crazy. There was a lot of partying going on. It was funny, though, when I had my first house in Susanville and we had a Halloween party, I still dressed up as an angel. I saw pictures the other day and my friend Ian was like, "Anne always dressed up as an angel every Halloween."
It was drilled into me by my mother and there was no getting away from it.
Right. Oh, man.
So to bring this back around, I'm recalling that at the end of the last episode, I said we were going to talk about Halloween and how far Christians should go in celebrating it.
So let's do that.
As we wrap this up, let's just make that our final thoughts.
One of the things as Christians, if you're trying to be an example or shine God's light, you know, there's a couple of ways of going about it. And sometimes people will just pull back and have nothing to do with it as like their stance. Okay, this is my stance. Not gonna, you know, no trick-or-treating, lights are off, we're not giving out candy, we're not involved at all. And then the other stance is to be involved but still try to be that positivity. I don't know, for me, I try to do the second. What about you guys? What are your thoughts?
I mean, as a Christian, I've struggled a lot with where the line is on a lot of things, and I've pretty much always come to the conclusion that I don't know and I don't want to make that decision. So I just kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to make the call because I don't know where that line is. I don't feel like maybe I'm supposed to make that judgment. But what I would say to Christian families who are like, wanting to give their kids a childhood memory and experience, but at the same time be good Christians and good citizens of the kingdom. I mean, just take your kids out trick-or-treating and do a little prayer walk while you're walking around. Mm. Say hello to your neighbor as they're given candy and ask how they're doing. Exactly. I don't know, like, make it more about community than costumes.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the one day a year that we talk to our neighbors, because there's a tradition of everybody coming in, because we live in a neighborhood that has a lot of cul-de-sacs. So we have a cul-de-sac get together every year. And it's really the only time that we all talk to each other every year.
You can randomly walk up to some neighbor's door, knock on it, and they're most likely going to greet you with a smile and a bowl of candy.
Yeah, that never.
Yeah.
And I have absolutely nothing against people that just decide not to be involved whatsoever. I completely understand that view and I respect it 150%. But for myself, I have decided to not do that. I decided to go trick-or-treating with my niece and, you know, meet the neighbors, because while I think it can be very positive to take a stance, people may not understand my heart in it, and they may just see it as like me being a jerk. And so to be able to get out there and talk to people and meet people and, oh my gosh, your kid is so cute, and, you know, have a conversation.
I think it's important, you know, as I believe this as myself as a Christian, is why I do something, why I don't do something. What is the basis that I have for doing what I do? What is the basis I have for not doing what I do? And I like to have like some biblical guidelines in my life. I mean, I think it's important to me as a Christian that how do I bring my faith into every area of my life? That's what my guidelines. If you decide you want to participate in something, have some sort of reason, you know, not just, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that stance is not healthy. That's not letting our faith into every area of our life. And I think then we can run into all kinds of compromises in other areas. Understanding what the goal is. The goal is love and relationship with God, relationship with people. That's been an important thing for me to help me define, okay, I don't do this for this reason. I do this for this reason. I think that's where knowing who we are in Christ can help us to guide us in these, for some, gray areas. So I would say that would be my big advice. You know, love has to be our guide. Love of God, love of people, and ways to do that. And know what you believe and why you believe it and where your boundaries are.
That's good stuff. Cadence, before we go, do you want to say one last thing to all our listeners?
Happy Halloween.
And I like candy bars, so make sure you have those in your bucket.
What's your favorite kind of candy?
I like fruity candy, but I also like crunch bars.
Crunch bars.
Crunch bars. I thought she said lunch.
And for those people out there that will be giving away candy, you know, that sets an impression in people. Give good candy. Give good candy. You know, give those candy bars and stuff like that.
And no Swedish fish.
No Swedish fish. No.
I don't like
that. Aunt Anne will eat all the candy corn.
Oh,
Aunt
my
Anne
goodness.
Loves. Auntie Anne loves candy corn.
What about toothbrushes?
No.
Yes. Floss. Auntie Anne loves candy corn and floss. Don't floss.
Well, that'll about do it for this episode. Join us next week as we talk about sex and violence.
Ooh.
Well, it started off with Sean and I debating about which one's causing more decay on our society in general. The absolute acceptance and love of brutality and violence and murder and death and mayhem, or nudity, sex, and pornography.
Right. And then church today was like...
And then there can be subtle in-between things that he can...
So be sure to come back for that. I was very impressed with the sermon.
I knew.
Morning.
I'm like, Curtis is loving this sermon.
Then they fought at the end anyway. They're like, oh yeah, we're going to fight each other.
I think that's a good image of what we'll do. This is not good, but I do it anyway.
There's too much violence in here. Let's have our gladiator fight.
Fight, awesome. Fight,
fight.
You
fight,
think
fight.
About
Are
what
you
you're
not
doing.
Entertained?
Be sure to check us out at kingdom-conversations.com. Check us out and say hello to us on Facebook.
Please,
we know
say
you're
hi
out there. We know you're listening. So
we saw you download it. We want to know who you are.
Say hi. Reach out. Let's keep the conversation going.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Peace.
Amen. Are you not entertained?